The horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everybody, and we're here at the Clocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Pike, and my bride Jackie is clocking a horse at the moment. Are you clocking something now, Jackie? We just
said,
one of Mark Hubley's just worked with Lark Curl up. Lark is an excellent rider. She's Dale Carroll's daughter, in case some of you old-timers would remember. Not that Lark is old. Very attractive young lady, and a veterinarian, and a good veterinarian as far as that goes. Her dad trained, he was training for Lane's Inn when he was killed out at Keeneland. Lark was just about 2 years old when that happened, but he had trained for Mr. Farish, I think it was probably his first classic winner in BBB, won the Preakness, and he was the son of Betterby, who stood down at Mr. E.K. Thomas's Timberlong Farm down in Paris. In Paris, Kentucky. Well, what are we doing today? Well, I got a call this morning while I was clocking at about 7:45, and my interviewee canceled on me. So
she thought it over. She thought better of it.
She thought I was a lot younger.
Is that what it was? But you are. You are.
Oh yeah. Well, anyway. Well, Matt Howard, who just over here at Gentry Farm, is going to sit in about the top of the hour for a few minutes. He just won stakes down at Remington Park with a quarter horse that Matt Frazier trained for him. Anyway, and he's going to talk a little bit about that. That thing has won two or three stakes. Well, he'll set a couple of track records down at Hialeah. It seems funny talking about Hialeah being, you know, quarter horses, but it is.
At least it's something.
And Kim Jedilecki said she's got some kind of announcement she wants to make, so she's going to stop over at about 11 o'clock. And Jeff's Josh Sines is out there. Jackie, you going to work one, Josh? Okay. We'll get you. Jackie will get you there. All righty. Meanwhile, we've been done pretty well out here during the month of the trainers. During the month of March, we had 53 winners from the training center. And since we talked to you last Saturday, let's see who won races since last Saturday. Brian Michael, nice young man, trains over here. He won one down at the Mountain. Bobby Sturgeon won one at Turfway. Oscar Modica won one at Turfway. Tommy Skinner, I've known Tommy since we were both young. And that's been a while. He won one down at Mountaineer. Matt Frazier, this one with Friedeville at Remington Park, a Grade 3 Decanta Stakes. And that's for quarter horses, and that's one that belongs to the Gentry Brothers and Matt Howard. I got too many Matts. Matt Howard's going to talk about. Let's see. Tommy Bergen took two down to Mountaineer and won with both of them. And that was on the 27th. The next day, Troy Rankin won one with Fu Peg's Delight, a Fusi Ichi Pegasus filly he's got. Last night, we had four winners, but this starts April. Good way to start April. We had two winners at Mountaineer and two at Turfway Park. Marco Castaneda saddled Emmy to win the fifth race at Mountaineer last night and was ridden by his wife, Bonnie Castaneda. Jimmy Cargan saddled one at Mountaineer last night and down at Turfway. Steve Casey, who, if I'm not mistaken, he has won eight of his 16 starts at Turfway this year. But he saddled Minson DeValley, has won another one last night, and then Bobby Sturgeon saddled one. So we're off to a pretty good start. Once again, my interview spit out the bit, and so Matt Howard and Kim Jedilecki going to come in. Dr. Doug Byers will be here, and of course he does a weekly vet segment. Michael Blowen from old friends. Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. Of course, that's published by our good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. He's going to give us the winner of the Fairway Flyer Stakes down at Turfway today. Trying to think what that filly was by. Gee whiz, she raced a few weeks back. I can't remember. A few weeks back. A few years back. We're still looking at two-year-olds in 1957. We're going to look at Mystic Flight, a son of... He's by Prince Quillo. And E. Dune, a Royal Charger filly, bred by Mr. Combs over here. And she was by Royal Charger, who was son of Niaco that was imported by Mr. Combs. And stood over at his spendthrift farm. Jackie, you want to start your announcement, or is your watch running?
Well, come in and take this watch.
Okay.
Just keep talking for a second.
What pole is it?
2 furlongs to go.
Just got a quarter of a mile to go? Well, depending on the horse, we'll see how long it takes you.
If somebody gets off the rail.
Holler rail at him out there.
Yeah. Get this sucker on the rail.
Oh, okay.
The
sun now comes up right smack dab on top of the 3/8 pole. Man, it gets a little tough out here when the sun's shining. Of course, today is the first day the sun's been shining all week. 41?
40 and 1.
Okay. You want to start on your announcements, and I'll get up and fill in, what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, one guy's got one more. He's coming back. So.
Okay.
Other than that, we're caught up.
All righty. Did you get that work from Tracy over there at Horse's
Neck? It wasn't. He worked another one. He just worked one. I got him.
Oh, okay. He worked one earlier, too.
Yeah, he didn't want to know about that.
You didn't want to know about it?
No.
No.
He already had done that. Okay.
All righty.
Upcoming events at the Horse Park, today being April the 2nd. We're in the middle of the Bluegrass Classic Arabian Show, and that ends tomorrow. Hey, the Bluegrass Half Marathon is tomorrow. That comes at the Horse Park. April 7th through the 11th is the Certified Horsemanship Association Instructor Certification Clinic. And next weekend is Spring Bay Horse Trials. And then after that is this Kentucky Spring Premier Saddlebred Show. The Saddlebred American Saddlebred Museum is at the Horse Park, and they're having an exhibit out there, Saddlebreds in the Movies. And I got to tell you, I saw the funniest movie. That movie must have been 100 years old. It was supposed to be in France. Ha ha. We had Marie Chevalier in it, and Myrna Loy, and Jeanette MacDonald, and all kind of people like that. Even the guy that played the Wizard of Oz had a bit part. That's how old that movie was. But what was so funny about that movie was they had saddlebreds all over that movie, and they were supposed to be in France. I thought that was pretty cute. But they really did. They populated the early movies with saddlebreds. So go out and check out that exhibit at the Saddlebred Museum. See if that one was in there. Kentucky Equine Humane Center. Horse of the week is JoJo. This is a, oh my goodness, it's a weanling. It's a little, no, it can't be a weanling. It's got to be a yearling. This is the wrong time of the year to be a weanling, even if you are a standard bred.
15 months.
Anyway. Well, maybe that's why they got it. I don't care. I'm telling you, at the age, in what year is this? It's April. And you don't have weanlings in April if your birthday's in January. So this is I'm going to change it for you. It's a standard bred bay, 15-month-old yearling. It's 13-1. His name's JoJo. They said he's easy to catch, handle, groom, stands well for the farrier. Kind of cute little dude. But I'm telling you, he's a yearling. Okay, jump start your Derby celebrations with Oaks Eve at Locust Grove. Locust Grove's in Louisville. It's May 5th on Thursday, May 5th from 7 to 11. It's just a big party. Locust Grove is, who's trying to think, it's a historic house in Louisville. It's real pretty, it's real nice, and I can't remember who lived there early on. Maybe it was
Wasn't me.
Wait a minute. Who crossed the Continental Divide? Rogers and Clark?
Yeah.
Might have been one of those guys. Anyway, it's $50, and...
Wouldn't have been Rogers. Been Mr. Clark.
Mr. Clark, whichever one of them wound up in Louisville.
It's the one they named the Clark Handicap after us.
Oh, okay. Maybe they named Clark County, Indiana after him, too, I bet.
I don't know.
Or Clark County's right down the road here, too. I don't know, but if you're interested, call Cindy Greathouse and bug her. 699-3334.
Say something about Brary's horse.
Oh, Biofuel, four-year-old filly, Canadian Horse of the Year. She was two-year-old Horse of the Year up there. Mm-hmm. These are the Sovereign Awards. She's by Storm and Fever, bred known by Brereton C. Jones.
Yes, Horse
That's
of the Year.
That's a big deal. Horse of the Year in Canada.
So Brary bred the Horse of the Year in Canada. Congratulations. Yeah, he's done everything else. It seems like everything
whatever
is
breeding. They're doing, it's right.
Yeah, whatever they're
correct.
Doing. Well, last Saturday at Turfway, the Grade 3 Bourbonette Oaks was won by Summer Soiree, a three-year-old filly from the first crop by Warfront. And in the very next race, the $100,000 Rushaway Stakes was won by Swift Warrior, a three-year-old colt from the first crop by First Samurai. Summer Soiree, bred by Brereton and Brett Jones, won the Bourbonette by nearly 11 lengths, and she's got to be considered a serious threat for the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks. She's one of six stakes winners from the first crop by Warfront, a list that includes the leading Kentucky Derby candidates, The Factor and Sold At. A Swift Warrior, bred by Paget Bloodstock, Neartic Bloodstock, and Carhue Investments, is a third stakes winner from the first crop by First Samurai. Two others have placed in stakes. That's five stakes horses, including a graded stakes winner from 19 first crop winners. Warfront, the nation's leading second crop sire, is a graded stakes winner by Danzig. First Samurai is a multiple grade one stakes winner by Giants Causeway, and both stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Cowboy Cal won stakes at 2, 3, and 4 every year he raced. Served notice early that he was a runner, breaking his maiden Belmont by 4 1/4 lengths. The next year, he won the Grade 3 Tropical Park Derby, Keeneland's Grade 3 Bryan Station, and ran bang-up seconds in the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes in the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby and in California's, Gulfstream's Hollandale Beach Stakes. Coming back at 4, he won the Grade 2 Strube, ran a mile in 1:33 flat, to win the Grade 2 Oak Tree Mile, won the Grade 2 San Pasquale, dropped a head-bobbing decision to Einstein in the Grade 1 Woodward Reserve Turf Classic, ran second in the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch, and third in the Grade 1 Citation, that was his last start, incidentally, and the Grade 2 four-star Dave for earnings of over $1 million. Cowboy Cal was a flat runner. Now take a look at his pedigree. He's one of 99 stakes winners by Giants Causeway. His dam, by Seeking the Gold, is a half-sister to a multiple graded stakes winner of over $4,463,000. His second dam, a multiple graded stakes winner, comes from the family of the multiple grade one stakes winner, Commentator, winner of over $2 million. Just one of dozens of superior runners from a family alive with black type. The first foals by Cowboy Cal are receiving rave reviews, and he stands for 7,500 live foal at Pin Oak Stud. Inquiries to Clifford Barry. See the website at pinoakstud.com.
Run that body one more time.
Clancy as a moderator. Registration 615. You got to be registered, RSVP, by 5 o'clock April the 8th. Walk-in seating's limited. Dinner begins at 6:45. You going to that, Matt? Yeah, we may try to get there. It's kind of difficult with Betsy, with our daughter, but we may try to...
Yeah, we'll see what we can
get
do.
Get a babysitter. You can register online now at ktfmc.org, or you can mail them a check and see if it clears. Anyway. Okay,
Yeah.
KTA.
This is a compliment to the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, Mr. David Schweitzer, of course. And these were Kentucky Bred Stakes winners for April this, last week. Stakes winners. The Grade II Louisiana Derby went to Pants on Fire. You love that name? Pants on Fire.
No, I don't.
Well, you don't. Okay. Bred by the K&G Stables, the Grade II Fairgrounds Oaks. Daisy Divine bred that one. No, that was the winner, Daisy Divine. Excuse me, J. Riley McDonald bred the winner. The New Orleans Handicap, Grade II, went to Mission Impassable, bred by Summer Wind Farm. It's the Appeal, bred by John T.L. Jones. The Grade III Vinery Racing Spiral Stakes, I want to thank Vinery for sponsoring that. As a Turfway, of course. Animal Kingdom won it, bred by Team Valor. The Grade III Tokyo City Cup Stakes at Santa Anita went to Worth Repeating, bred by B. Wayne Hughes of Spinthrift Farm fame. I don't know if he still owns that one or not. It's a Giants Causeway, by the way. His 99th stakes winner. The Grade III Bourbonnets Oaks at Turfway. Summer Soiree by Warfront won that one. Bred by Burton and his son Brett Jones. And, of course, Warfront is also, well, he's got an Oaks candidate and two of the leading Derby candidates in the Factor and Sold At. The Santa Paula Stakes at Santa Anita went to Miley Offensive, named after Michael Bowen. He's by Sharp Humor.
Nice. And I thought Sharp Humor was named after me.
What?
I thought Sharp Humor was named after me.
No. I could have resisted Michael.
I know. That's fine.
Anyway, Windstar Farm, our friends over at Windstar bred. The Rushaway Stakes went to Swift Warrior by First Samurai, bred by Paget Bloodstock, Neotic Bloodstock, and Carhue Investments. The Bayou Handicap down at the fairgrounds went to Upper Line, bred by Stonerside Stables. The Prima Donna Stakes at Oaklawn. Grand Linus, bred by John T.L. Jones and BMAC NV. And the Hansel Stakes at Turfway went to Ghost is Clear, bred by Twin Creeks Farm, Tom and Nancy Clark, and Taylor Made Farm. That's a whole bunch of stakes. Kentucky Breds winning stakes last year.
Fabulous.
Week.
And I know Governor Jones and his son and that group sold Summer Soiree to Barry Irwin, Team Valor.
Yeah, I've heard a rumor of a price. I won't say it on air because it's just a rumor, but it's...
He might need a tax deduction.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of those. I should go knock on his door today.
Barry, hide. Go hide.
Yeah, he better hide. His horse Patton's doing great at the farm, and we're getting a horse in a few weeks, I hope, that used to stand over at Airdrie, Afternoon Delights.
He's not there yet?
No.
Well, he's been in Louisiana, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's been taken care of down there. People are real nice.
Do you know his breeder, Bert Bacharach?
Well, I know Bert's ex-wife, Angie Dickinson.
Well, I'd much rather know her, but I just...
She's funny, too.
I was just curious, you know.
The Bacharach Foundation, which is controlled by Angie and Bert Bacharach, donated $50,000 to Old Friends last year.
Oh, good. Well, that's really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh. So we're singing all his tunes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are.
God, I hope I don't have to listen.
You want those raindrops on his head.
Yeah, really.
Well, we've been getting enough of those, I'll tell you that.
But not today.
Yeah. No, today's a gorgeous day.
And my free hay announcements every week are paying huge dividends.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got some from Alex Barnett, who's the judge executive over in Harrison County.
Wow.
Some big beautiful round bales of alfalfa and orchard grass, and we got a call from Indian Creek. Indian Creek's delivering some to us today.
Oh.
Free of charge.
That's our buddy Jack Parrish over in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that a lot.
If you insure any of these horses, how would you like to insure some of these old horses?
I don't think they'll take it.
He runs a Clay Ward agency over there, you know.
Yeah.
You don't think he,
They wouldn't take him for collateral or insurance.
I'm sorry about that, Shaq. He's going to call up now with some 30-year-old horse to insure.
How much do you think it cost to insure Gulcher, fortunate prospector?
I don't know. How old's Gulcher?
Maybe it's like one of those ads on TV where you don't have to pass a physical.
Yeah. Who's the oldest horse over there?
Fortunate prospect.
How old is he?
30.
30. Mm-hmm. Does he still look pretty good?
He looks fabulous.
Is that right?
We got a couple of 29-year-olds. You know, the horse that Doug was, Dr. Byers was very responsible for saving, Clever Alamont's 29 years old, and he was sprinting around and jumping and bucking this morning like a kid.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. Doc, would you be my doctor?
You know, if I could jump around, spin, do all those things at my age, I'd
be pretty happy.
Yeah, I'd look in the mirror and say, thanks, Doc.
Right.
But I can't do it.
Okay. Oh, well, it was just a thought.
There you go.
I need all the help I can get, you know. So what else is going on?
Well, we got
tours.
Tours. I was just telling Dr. Byers on the way in here, our tours have gone way up. Today we have 50 Girl Scouts coming. We're part of the Girl Scout project this year. A lot of the Girl Scouts getting together to help old friends, which will be really nice. And Dr. Byers is going to talk to them. Dr. Fraley's going to talk to them, tell them about what they do, and kind of give them a really good idea how we take care of these horses and their dotage.
Now, Doug, don't use all those big words to this guy. I've been trying to read that book of...
The Glossary of Terms?
Things don't soak in like they used to.
Well, I could give you some tongue twisters to add to that book. So we won't go there. We won't go there.
All right.
You have to go in the other direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we got a lot of people coming out on tours today and tomorrow, and... you know, of course, Friday, Keeneland opens, so that'll be really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very exciting now. We made it through the winter by the skin of our teeth.
Don't talk like that, you know, because it may be 20 degrees.
No, I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about our bank account.
Oh, your bank account. No.
Are you having the thing after Derby?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah, we got two big things coming up. We have a Ferdinand's Ball that's going to be the Thursday before the Derby at the Fraser History Museum in Louisville. And then the day after the Derby, we have our homecoming at the farm.
Okay.
And we'll have the Cajun food, and a lot of the jockeys will come, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay. Ferdinand's Ball is going to be good, too. I think Mike Rapoli is going to come. You know, that'll be a couple days before, if everything goes right, Uncle Mo goes in as the favorite for the Derby. And Uncle Mo contributes to old friends. In fact, I got a personal invitation from Uncle Mo to go to the Wood Memorial next week. And I said, well, I can't do that. I said, I got to stay here and take care of the old horses.
Don't mess up his hair there, Chris.
I knew who that was.
Did you?
I knew it.
Chris McCarron just walked in.
Now he's a filmmaker. Look at him. He's making documentaries.
McCarron?
Well, he's bragging today. I think one of his bug riders rode two winners last night.
Really?
Yeah, one of his graduates.
Which one?
Corey Orme.
Oh, he's doing great.
Oh, whose baby is this?
That's McCarron. Get grab a mic.
Is she gorgeous or what? That's McCarron Grace Oldham Stith.
Oh, okay.
That's Jessica's little girl.
It's Jessica's little girl.
Susie's
and John's granddaughter. Wow. Johnny Oldham.
They're gonna have to run that breeding through the blood horse.
Wow, wow! And they
say gorgeous baby.
And her first name is McCarron.
Yes, sir.
Gee whiz! I hope she lives that down. But
hey, and that's said by somebody named Ursel.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I'm a junior. You just insulted my father.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm glad I'm not a Herbert. That was my father's name.
Okay. Mine too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it must have been popular when they were young.
Herbert Emmett McCarron.
Well, that's pretty neat. Yeah. Did you have something you wanted to announce, or did I just do it?
Come in.
Stick your head in there,
Michael,
for a second.
Excuse me.
I know, this is the way he used to ride horses, too. Excuse me.
That's right. I'm coming through.
Yeah, he got his number taken down a few times, too.
That's the last thing you want to say when you're trying to get through a hole is, I'm coming through. Bam, the door shuts quickly.
Right.
You don't want to let them know you're coming up in there. Last night,
you remember what he
the
did
best thing you do.
He did the same thing to me.
The best thing you do is you come up behind them and say, I can't hold them.
Yeah, right. And they look back and say, well, you better get stronger.
Right.
Last night, we made some history again. The North American Racing Academy. One of my graduates, Corey Orme, who won two last night up at Turfway, rode a horse for Marshall Johnson. His son, Taylor Johnson, mm-hmm. is one of our graduates, and Taylor's got his trainer's license.
Big, tall kid.
Big, tall kid.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Took Taylor forever to learn how to gallop a horse. But all of a sudden, one day, something clicked, and then he got it. And when he took out his trainer's license, since he took out his trainer's license, he's been getting on all his own horses.
Yeah, he's not here now, is he?
No, he's up at Turfway.
Yeah, but he was here for a long time because I caught some of his horses.
That's right. Yeah, Taylor trained here for about 6 months, I think,
yeah.
before he went up there.
Oh, well,
so one of our graduates broke the maiden of one of our graduates.
Yeah.
How's that?
That's really
yeah,
cool.
That's fun.
All right. All right. Ben Creed rode another one, too.
Ben rode another winner last night. Jackie won a couple days ago.
Jackie back in New York?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She won one on Thursday up there.
This is Jackie Davis.
And Christina just started back riding this past week up at Philadelphia Park. She fractured two cervical vertebrae a couple of months ago, but she got the clearance to go back to riding, and she was on one of Pimlico in the fifth race yesterday, and it appeared she kind of fell back on the horse's mouth, and he kind of lunged up in the air coming out of there, and she came off.
Oh, my.
So you can imagine what my thoughts were when I saw the chart and says unseated rider after the start. I went, oh, my goodness. But she landed on her feet.
Oh, wow.
Thank goodness.
Good.
So, anyhow.
What about the Today Show?
Oh, yeah. The Today Show was out here the last couple of days. Jenna Wolf, one of the hosts of the Today Show, was out here doing some interviews and everything. They recorded all the briefs. We briefed a bunch of horses here yesterday. On Thursday, we went out to the big field that we lease from the Gentry Farm here. Our mm-hmm. good buddy Matt Howard over here oversees that.
Yeah.
And so this show will air on the Today Show on May 4th, the Wednesday before the Derby.
Hey, how about that? Yeah, how about
so,
that?
So that's pretty exciting.
Can I have your autograph?
It'll cost you.
Oh, I was hoping it'd be on a check.
It goes down after the Derby.
Oh, okay.
So the guy, Charlie Adams, is who we buy our hay from. He lives up in Georgetown. And he was here on Thursday. He just arrived when the Today Show was wrapping up. And he said, what's going on? So I told him. He goes, well, can you tell me when that's going to be on? He says, I want to watch it so I can tell everybody, I know those people.
Okay.
He also delivers hay to my daughter. And so yesterday he was over dropping off some hay and straw to Stephanie. And he says to her, he goes, do you know your dad's a rock star? Anyhow.
All righty.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for letting me share this. And
that's fun. Yeah.
Feels good. Finally, spring. Finally,
yeah.
It's here.
Right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
See you later, Chris.
Chris, see you later.
All right. Let me do a commercial here. First Defense is one of 10 Grade 1 stakes winners by Unbridled Song, the son of noted sire of sires, Unbridled. First Defense's dam is Honest Lady, winner of the Grade 1 Santa Monica Handicap, and a three other graded stakes, second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint, and also in the Grade 1 Metropolitan, and earner of nearly $900,000. Honest Lady is by the great sire of sires and Triple Crown winner of Seattle Slough, and she's a half-sister to the Belmont Stakes winner and Grade 1 sire, Empire Maker, son of Unbridled, and to Grade 1 Stakes winner and Grade 1 sire, Chester House. Now, First Defense's second dam is, of course, the Grade 1 Stakes winner and Broodmare of the Year, Troussard. Dam of five graded stakes winners, four of them Grade 1 Stakes winners. Now, First Defense has a great pedigree, a Grade 1 pedigree, a great sire pedigree. His first foals are yearlings, and he stands at Judmont Farm for 7,500 live foal. Also at Judmont is the proven Grade 1 sire of stakes winners, Mizzen Mast, son of leading sire Cozine. He stands for 12,500 live foal. Inquiries with Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Did I say that right? Judmont.com. Kind of spit that. Want to talk about a young man that Dr. Byers introduced me to the other day, and he started advertising with Carl Lumley, who's a business builder. And he's been in the business for about 10 years, but prior to that he was in the horse business. Said he was starving to death, so in the horse business, so he decided he'd build houses.
Well, Dr. Byers making sure he's not starving now.
Oh, he's building a house for Doc.
But that's got to get over with.
How's it coming over there, Doc?
Well, we're crossing our fingers that we'll be occupying this coming week.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Boy, he's moving right along.
But your beer deck is going to be That's available anytime. We can get right after that.
The beer deck is completed. I noticed that right away.
First things first.
First things first. You built a beer deck and then the rest of the house around it. You know, right?
We started out with just putting a can of beer or a bottle of beer right in the middle of a piece of soil.
Sam
Adams said, build around this.
Okay. Well, he's done a good job. It's very impressive. I really liked it.
It'll be nice. It's not huge. It's just smallish. We don't want it.
Who needs huge?
Yeah,
you know.
That means you get company.
Well, that's right. Well, it's a three-bedroom, right? It's master bedroom downstairs.
Right, the two guest ones upstairs when Michael gets kicked out.
Okay.
that
happened any day now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's been, in addition to building the house for Doug, he's done some. He did a bunch of work for the Sites Boys over at Bookdale Farm.
Yep.
Denali Stud, friend of ours over, a neighbor of ours over, Sarah Hamilton. I don't know if you know Sarah.
I do know Sarah.
Yeah.
Wonderful gal.
Yeah. She lost that barn in a tornado, yep, and he put one up for her. And he can build anything. House, barns, running sheds, privies, you name it, he can do it. And he can do additions or decks. I know he can build a deck because it's a nice beer deck that Doc's got over there.
Very nice.
And great references. And if he gives you a competitive bid and he sticks to the bid, you know, I mean, he's not one of these guys that'll come in and give a low bid you and then get two-thirds of the way through and say, hey, I need some more money, I can't finish it.
Well, you know, the old saying is, plan on 20% more. Carl has stayed right on the mark.
That's good.
We haven't had that. Yeah.
Well, let me give his phone number because he lives over on Hume. He lives over close to me, you know. He lives on Hume Bedford Road in Paris.
Yeah, he lives on Dr. Cavey's farm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep, Respite Farm right over there.
Well, his phone number is an 859 number, 333-7914. And like I say, he's a wonderful builder and build. If you can don't remember that number, give me a call at home and I'll get it for you. And you can do that. My cell number is 948-9094, and you're welcome to call me. So he's a nice guy. Somebody will treat you right. And let's see, what else have I got to do after Mr. I got to do a Crestwood Farm here, and then we'll get back to you guys. Well, Giants Causeway is our 99 stakes winners. Reckon you make 100. Probably.
What time is it?
That's a given.
Yeah, what time is it? Yeah, yeah. Today sometime. Well, it's 17 grade 1 stakes winners this side. Noble Causeway came pretty doggone close to making it 18 grade 1 stakes winners. He ran a game second in the grade 1 Florida Derby, and he beat a lot of grade 1 stakes winners along the way. In fact, he was on the board in 13 of his 18 starts, running against the best in the grade 1 Florida Derby, the grade 1 Suburban, the grade 2 Gulfstream Park Handicap, the Grade 3 Ben Ally out of Keenan, the Skipaway Grade 3 down at Gulfstream. Lived up to his pedigree, and it's a great pedigree. Downs Causeway has led the North American Sire List for the past 2 years, and if you look at the top again this year, there he is. And Noble Causeway's Dam, a daughter of the top sire seeking the gold, is out of Classy Cathy, winner of the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 1 Ashland, the Grade 1 Gazelle, and a graded stakes producer. Now consider the fact that Noble Causeway is an absolutely superb individual. He sold for $1,150,000 as a yearling, and you have the makings of a successful sire. You're invited to inspect Noble Causeway at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, where he stands for $5,000 doing a full stands and nurses. Just call the farm at 255-3770 and check the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Well,
what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to talk about...
I woke him up over there, by the way.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some neurology.
Some of these commercials get a little long, Doc nods off. Go ahead.
Well, you get Michael started in the morning, what else am I going to do?
I don't know.
Just hand it over there. Well, first thing we're going to talk about is basically hot off the presses. Craig Carter, who is just an incredibly wonderful veterinarian and leader at our diagnostic lab, and the blessings for that diagnostic lab to this area is just huge. But he put out a bulletin this morning about a lot of horses developing oral ulcers in their mouth.
Really?
Yeah. So The numbers are growing, and they're looked at samples, and haven't figured it out. But basically, if your horse eats slow and maybe has a little bit of salivation, that's a sign of something in their mouth. It could be a tooth, could be anything else. If it's a tooth, you call Jack Easley from up in Simpsonville, and Jack is the best there is as far as being an equine veterinary dentist. But anyway, one of the common things is, and these are stabled horses, these aren't outdoor, a lot of show horses, some race horses, and thinking about winter time and the hays that you're dependent on, is there something in the hay, like plant on or something prickly that's causing this? And they haven't been able to find it. They've been looking and looking, and that's the most common rule out. Then you have an infectious disease to take into consideration, and you say, well, is this vesicular stomatitis, which causes kind of pustules in the mouth, and they rupture vesicles. And but it's the wrong time of year because those are carried by vectors or insect animals. And they have fever, and those horses get sick. They get sick. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that'll shut down. If you had vesicular stomatitis in Kentucky, you would be shutting down your racing circuit because it's one of those reportable infectious diseases. So we watch pretty much for that. They don't know what it could be. Could it be something toxic that they're feeding these horses that has become popular? The horses are not; these horses are not sick. They just have some difficulty eating for a while until they heal up. We've talked about supplements. We overdo supplements. I got a brochure from a company or a booklet from a company claiming some bragging rights to listing 270 supplements in their catalog. And so when you think about, you know, an unregulated market. Mm-hmm. It's not an FDA approval. You know, anybody can sell any of those products. So is there something in there that's toxic or caustic to the mouth? We don't know. So right now they're mystified, but there's a lot of increasing numbers of these horses. So I'll give this to Jackie, and she's got a Holly the Press bulletin. Not. Well, you know, I think there's a couple of things you would do. If the horse has a lot of redness in the mouth, you wash them out with salt water, just like the dentist would tell you to do. Listerine as a mouthwash flush, you put that in and buy those big bottles and flush their mouth with that. Mm-hmm. Keep it from getting any secondary infection. Listerine's a very good product.
Is it?
You know, when compared to... But anyway, compared to a lot of just the generic stuff.
We used to put Listerine on skin disease till they came out with some better stuff.
Yeah. Well, Listerine's great. The problem with
yes, we did.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Okay. Most common skin disease is, we've talked about this before, is rain scald. And so that's Dermatophilus infection. And those spores, it's kind of a cross between a spore, a fungus, and a bacteria.
Yeah.
They spread with moisture. Mm-hmm. So that's why they call it rain scald. And you can see the pattern on those horses, and they get those scabs, and those scabs can be painful to them. So when you put something on there like Listerine, it's probably a better product, but if it's still providing moisture, then and if it doesn't kill the bug entirely, then it's letting that bug spread. So that's just an aside on that.
Well, it's called a rain rot.
Yep.
Well, there's a product out in a bottle called Muck Itch Solution or something. I don't know. I get it over at Dave's. And you just one or two sprays with that, and you just sort of rub it in. That's it. It's kind of oily. It doesn't run.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff's brilliant. I've used that since they've come out with it.
Yeah, the other thing that's a good product is, and I use a lot for skin issues down on the lower legs, just Desitin. Now the only thing is, if you got it over the back on a rain scald, you're going to wind up with a pinto. Mm-hmm. So
we use a lot of Desitin for stuff that get on the legs. What the hell you call
dew
it?
Dew poisoning.
Dew poisoning, yeah.
Right.
And that'll coat it, too.
Right, and it doesn't wash off, so it protects them.
Yeah.
And
you try to do it right before the blacksmith gets there.
Yeah. Well, it's got zinc oxide in it, and that's antibacterial, and then those cracks behind where these horses get scratches, it helps keep that lubricated and they're comfortable.
Yeah, crack heels.
Diaper rash.
Yeah,
there of the foot.
It's expensive though, boy. That stuff is.
If you buy the generic, it's not.
You can buy
the
generic now.
Tube after tube of that stuff.
Yeah, you have to. The real Destinent's expensive.
The way drugs work is basically if they get a patent on a drug, it's good for 25 years. And then it goes on the market and can be generically produced. Now, the problem with that, go back to the FDA and approvals and inspections, it's all random. So you don't know, once it reaches generic, whether you're getting the same quality of product. So,
I always look for the percentage of zinc oxide.
Okay. Listen to this old boy over here. Yeah. The old movie critic. Yeah, man, has he changed.
Boy.
Yeah.
It's a tough crowd.
He's trying to pull some film over our eyes.
Tough crowd.
All right. Well, thank you, Doc.
All right.
Let me do this.
Are you finished?
Well, next week we'll do neurology. But I want to get Michael and Ursel prepared. If we do neurology next week, we've talked about a lot of problems, you know, EPM and herpes virus. So I'm going to do this as a quiz. I'm going to ask you guys the question.
Oh, yeah.
I'm supposed to
humiliated enough.
Yes.
I'm supposed to retain something for a week? Are you out of your mind?
You're going to have a lot of big words to have to come up
bring
with.
Bring your
you
dictionary
know?
Or so bring that dictionary.
Yeah, back. I'll have to bring it back over here.
Start with meningoencephalitis, all right?
Okay.
And I do want to say one more thing, Ursula. I just want to say that we got some great stuff happening next the second weekend at Keeneland. Jim Bowden, the guy who used to pitch for the Yankees, is coming over to Keeneland for breakfast at the works on Bluegrass morning with our horse Ball 4.
Okay.
Named after his book. So
yeah.
We'll work something out.
You know, I'd never heard of him because I'm not much of a baseball fan, but everybody I've had several people talk about that to me since you announced
book.
It on here, you know. Yeah. Oh, Bowden's coming in. Bowden, did you read his book? I said, no, I better read it. You were going to bring me one.
I know, I forgot.
That's what you said last week.
Well, it took me 3 weeks to bring the calendar. It's probably only take me 2 weeks to bring the book.
Yeah, I thought the damn year was going to run out before I got my calendar.
Well, that's why we waited.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Russell. Okay. Well, Jazzle was a fast closing second in the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, closing fourth in the Kentucky Derby. Then he won the Grade 1 Classic Belmont Stakes at the direct expense of Bluegrass Cat. He also won as a 2-year-old, breaking his maiden in New York, and he earned nearly $900,000. He's a classic winner with a classic pedigree. Jazzle is by the top sire seeking the gold out of the Broodmare of the Year Better Than Honor by leading sire and sire of sire's deputy minister. Now, Better Than Honor won the Grade 2 Demoiselle and placed in two filly classics, the Acorn and the Mother Goose. Of course, they both Grade 1. She produced two classic winners, Jazzle and champion Rags to Riches, plus Grade 2 stakes winner Casino Drive, and Man of Iron, who was a champion 3-year-old colt in Ireland, and he won the Breeders' Cup Marathon. I believe that was the inaugural running of the Breeders' Cup Marathon. Jazzle's second dam is blushed with pride. She won the Kentucky Oaks, produced graded stakes winners in the USA, France, and in Great Britain, and his third dam is the Great Foundation Mare Best in Show, yet another Broodmare of the Year. A top 10 freshman sire, sales sire in 2010. Jazzle stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes, and check the website at shadwellfarm.com. Jackie? Hey, Jackie. All right, let me talk. She's left here. I'll do the quilling promotion here.
I'm sorry.
All righty.
I was chatting.
I know you'd rather talk than work.
Of course. Every trip of the train, as they
say.
Hey,
Kim, you want to borrow my glasses?
I want to.
I've got Kim Jedlicki standing over here. She's reading the newspaper, and her arms aren't long enough.
Yeah, I gave her my reading glasses. That's fine. Yeah, she's reading the top half of the Lexington Herald Leader, the column on the right. We should all look at that one. Anyway, Quillen is having a special promotion. Kentucky Hickory Twitches. They've got two sizes. Got a 48-inch. $34.95, and a one-man twitch, that's a short one, $20.85 with a snap on the end of it. What do you do is you twitch the nose and bring the end of it around and hook it to the halter. So if you don't have somebody to help you with the long twitch, that's what you do. And they've got a kind of a special on colored leather checkbook covers, belts, and dog collars coming soon. This will be real popular. You know, they did the in the pink for the Susan Komen Cancer Month or Day or whatever it was, and it was extremely popular, so they're going to put out a whole line. And of course, they've got the Calico Foal and Newborn Halters, $16.95 each. And if you get a newborn and foal turnout halters, you get a special deal if you buy a dozen or more. So give them a call, 987-0215, or go to www.quillin.com.
The Bluegrass Cat, Distorted Humor, Harlan's Holiday, Sharp Humor, Spritestown, Tis Now, those are the Windstar Stallions with foals of racing age. When you look for their names on the various sire lists, start at the top. The first foals by Spring at Last will reach racing age in 2012, and it's worth noting that he covered over 200 mares in his first two seasons at stud. He is, in the Windstar tradition, receiving every opportunity to become a successful sire. And he deserves that opportunity. He won Grade 1 stakes. He traveled abroad to win the Grade 2 $1 million Godolphin Mile. He won on dirt, grass, artificial. He was unbeaten, going a mile. He met and defeated many of the best runners of his day. Midnight Lou, Dahare, Einstein, Brother Derek. He won at Belmont, at Aqueduct, at Santa Anita, and he earned over $1,139,000. Spring at Last is one of 82 stakes winners by Silver Deputy. And he's out of a Dynaformer mare that produced three graded stakes winners, two of them grade one stakes winners. So watch for Spring at Last, first crop yearlings at the major sales this year. And for more information, get in touch with Robert Hammond, 873-1717. And see the website at windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere, and here's
I'm talking to Jed. I'm Jed Hickey. You know, I always want to call Frank or Jed because
you can call anything you want as long as it's not late to dinner.
He's trained.
Yeah, right. He's trained. I bet you he's trained. He trains out here too. How many of y'all got out here now?
We have three right now. We're bringing a couple 2-year-olds in tomorrow.
Okay.
A couple of fillies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are they by?
One is by Lemon Drop Kid, and the other one is by Northern Affleet.
Okay. Oh, two very good sires. Yes, sir. We can't help you? I see you got a Windstar Farm jacket on. I thought I'd better pay attention to you.
No, I'm just watching the show instead of listening from the radio.
Oh, okay.
It sounds a lot better when you don't look at us.
Yeah, right. We've got faces for radio, you know.
Don't
be off. All right. You had some kind of announcement that you wanted to say.
I do. I'm a member of the Scott County Women's Club.
I didn't know you lived in Scott County.
We do. We live in Georgetown.
In town?
No, on Ironworks Pike.
Oh, hell, yes. That's
not
country.
Too far. Yeah, not too far from Summerwind Farm.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the town side or the Lexington side?
No, towards Frankfort.
Toward Frankfort, okay.
Exactly.
You're close to old friends. And
Jack Nagle used to live out there.
We're literally right around the corner from old friends.
Yeah, okay.
Probably a mile. From old friends.
Yeah, you go down and on the right down there, yeah.
Just down Ironworks.
Jack Nagle, are you a neighbor?
Used to live there.
Huh?
I don't think they
Jack
live there
Jack and
Lori
Nagle used to live down that direction? Yeah, they do. He built a house, of course, knowing Jack, he sold it.
Yeah. We're from 62, we're just a mile down.
Oh, yeah. That's so far at all. Boy, you're close to everything.
We are. It's a real nice location, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
So anyway, the Scott County Women's Club has an annual fundraiser called their Pre-Derby Party, which is held every year the Thursday before the Kentucky Derby. And it is a fundraiser, and each year we've been fortunate. This is the 19th annual Pre-Derby Party, and each year we've been fortunate enough to raise enough money to give $5,000 each to some very worthy charitable organizations. And this year, the organizations earmarked for the proceeds is Quest Farm in Georgetown, which is a working farm for adults with developmental disabilities,
Okay.
And Habitat for Humanity, which I think everyone's familiar with.
Yeah.
The Georgetown Readiness Preschool, which provides financial assistance to those parents who would not otherwise be able to afford preschool for their children. And then the Amen House of Georgetown, which does a wonderful job providing cash assistance, food, clothing, emergency shelter for those who, you know, find themselves without, you know, funds,
yeah,
food on a short-term basis.
Yeah. When is this?
It is May the 5th, Thursday, May the 5th. It's going to be at our farm.
That's 2 days before the Derby.
Right, the Thursday, mm-hmm, right, the Thursday, yeah, before the Derby. It starts at 6 o'clock, and it's $75 a person. That includes open bar, food. We have a band, David and Lisa. They performed for many years at the Campbell House. I don't know. Don't remember what the previous name of that band was, but they're wonderful. They do a great job. We have a dance floor. So,
wow.
And then we have both a silent and a live auction. Mm-hmm. To raise money.
You got stuff yet?
Well, we have, I can just tell you what we had last year for the live auction. We had a box at Keeneland for a day at the fall meet. We had, the castle was very generous in donating jewelry, some very nice,
yeah,
jewelry,
mm-hmm,
for the auction. We have a condominium, a week in a condominium in Florida.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
A week. A week is big.
Yes, it is. And it would have been nice this winter.
Well, yeah, what part of Florida?
Oh, I can't remember.
Is it a certain date?
From here, who cares?
Yeah, you just work it out with the owner that donates it. So it's pretty flexible.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's a lot of nice items.
Now, where are you having it?
It's at our farm this
year.
Oh,
at your farm?
At Stonehouse Farm there on Ironworks Pike.
Stonehouse Farm? Is that what y'all call your farm?
That's what we call our farm.
Okay.
It's a stone house.
It's a stone house. So That's not a big...
I never would have guessed.
Not a reach there.
Jeez.
I just wanted to make the connection for you.
Yeah. So anyway, I just appreciate you letting me give a plug for that.
Okay, well, let's see, that's pretty far away. You want some more plugs on that?
Yeah,
we'll keep after it.
Right.
We'll keep after it.
Anybody who wants tickets, contact me.
How much are tickets?
Tickets are $75 per person.
Okay.
Food.
Open bar.
Good Lord.
Food,
open bar?
Yeah.
Just endless open bar.
Endless open bar.
Yeah.
That's $75.
You ought to get a half training center out here.
Salad, yeah. You may have some overnight guests.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
That's awful.
Yeah.
All right.
So they can contact me or Becky Cox, who is treasurer of our organization, and she can be reached at 502-863-6891.
You have a website or anything on this?
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Do you have to RSVP this, or can you pay at the door?
No, we do need RSVP so that we can prepare and make sure that we have enough both food and liquor.
Okay, well, the thing about this phone number, it's Georgetown, so it's 502. You don't have to remember that. It's 863. You don't have to remember that. The number to remember is 6891.
Right. Or they can contact me at 502-867-8056.
867.
All right.
Georgetown's growing.
Okay. I hate to rush you off, but I got to do a commercial.
Thank you. We'll talk about this.
Yeah, we'll keep after it, Tim. Thanks. Okay. Well, Lionel David is a grade one stakes winner from the female family of Mr. Prospector. Now, that should be enough to get your attention. He won the grade one Arkansas Derby at the immediate expense of Kentucky Derby winner Super Saver, grade one stakes winner Dublin, grade one stakes winner Noble's Promise, another good colt. He won by leading all the way. Now, the Arkansas Derby was his third consecutive win. He had posted a pair of one-mile victories on the grass in California, wiring the field in both of those also. He's a grade one stakes winner with the versatility to compete on dirt or grass. Now, Lionel David is one of some 20 stakes winners from the first three crops by the multiple grade one stakes winner millionaire, Lionheart. And this is the great Stormcat Sireline. His dam, a daughter of leading Sire Capote, descends from the family which has given us Mr. Prospector and literally dozens of other major stakes winners. Lion of David is standing his first season stud at Spencery Farm, and there are attractive breeding incentives available. Just contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Sean Fell, or Ned Toffee at 294-0030, and check the website at SpenceryFarm.com.
American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at PrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts. The only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maintenance stats on 2 and 3 year olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950. The American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
I want to talk about my good friends over at Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. That's Dr. Wes Sutter and Dr. Bill Bernard and Dr. Roy Bidwell. And, of course, it's an elective surgery facility. They have outpatient services, outpatient medicine, things like arthroscopy and lameness. You know, you come in and you take care of it for you. And they're in the forefront today of regenerative medicine treatments like PRP and processed stem cell treatments and so forth. What you do, you call up and tell them they're coming in and make an appointment, and then you go to see them and they take care of you and send you home. And they tell you what the cost is in advance, or no add-ons and no surprises, and when you get the bill, what they tell you it's going to be ahead of time, that's what it's going to be. And, of course, the goal is always to provide a great service at a reasonable price. Now, they're located over on Georgetown, the corner of Georgetown and Road and Ironworks Pike. And here's their website. It's LexingtonEquine.com. When you turn in, on the right is the surgery facility, and on the left is probably the best pharmacy services out here, the Wycliffe, Jackie Bernard, who is Bill's very attractive wife, by the way, used to train out here.
I don't have to listen to this very attractive part, do I? I want to talk about pharmacy, though, because, you know, all patients are different sizes and require different dosages of this, that, and the other thing, and stuff comes standardized these days, but how pharmacies get around this and do a better job is they are compounding pharmacies. The pharmacists and the chemists over here at Wycliffe Veterinary Pharmacy mix it according to what the vet says you need. So that's a compounding pharmacy. They're hard to find. There's only 2 or 3 human compounding pharmacies around. This is pretty special. So
you need to get something from them. You need a prescription also from the vet.
Yeah, well, the vet, what happens is the vet gives them a call and you can run over and pick it up.
Right.
So the vet doesn't have to go running over there and, I'll get it when I'm done today or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And the vets get to prescribe a specific strength and flavors, too. And not only that, you know, they have color coding on their labels. I just thought that was kind of cute. And they have apple, cherry, peppermint, alfalfa, molasses, and vanilla for a horse. Or if you want some other, we had a horse that used to eat doo-doo.
What's your website over there?
Website.
And there's an 800 number you can call also.
800-888 number, 934-5678. That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
934-5678. 934-5678. How easy is that? 888-9-3-4-5-6-7. I'm in love with that number. Oh, my goodness.
She's easy to please.
Anyway, it's Wycliffe, Wycliffe.com.
Very good. Okay. And it's easy to find them over there, incidentally. Let's see. I've got to catch up here. The first foals will pioneer the Nile are arriving this year, and they're receiving rave reviews. So just ask the person that owned one. He's passing on his superb confirmation. Now, Pioneer the Nile won grade 1 stakes at both 2 and 3. After breaking his maiden at Saratoga, he moved west to take the grade 1 cash call for Tootie, then extended his string of graded stakes wins to 4, capturing the grade 2 Robert B. Lewis stakes, the grade 2 San Felipe, and the grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. He then ran second in the grade 1 Kentucky Derby, and that brought his earnings up to $1,624,000. Now, Pioneer of the Nile is by Empire Maker, winner of the Belmont Stakes, Florida Derby, and Wood Memorial, all grade 1, second in the Kentucky Derby, and a proven sire of grade 1 stakes winners. Now, Pioneer of the Nile's Dam won stakes at Churchill Downs. She's by the very successful Lord of War, and it's a family loaded with black type. You're welcome to inspect Vinery, to inspect their facilities out there. They've got great facilities also for rehab and whatever. anyway, and to inspect, of course, the studs, including Pioneer of the Nile. Inquiries to John Gasper or Francis Rillihan or Grant Williamson, and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, the first foals of a Badger Silver race last year. He's the sire of 20 first crop winners. Listed among his winners are Silver Medallion, winner of the Grade 3 El Camino Real Derby and of Santa Anita's Eddie Logan Stakes, King Kanji, winner of the Tropical Park Derby, and he was just a head short of winning the Hollandale Beach Stakes down in Gulfstream, and Silver Leo, placed in Woodbine $150,000 display stakes. Now, Badger Silver has sired winners at 17 different tracks. Tracks like Keeneland and Churchill and Saratoga and Oaklawn, Santa Anita, Aqueduct, Law, Golden Gate, Hollywood Park, Woodbine, Delaware, Turfway, Philadelphia, Calder. So they win wherever they're asked to run, and they're remarkable for their versatility. Now, multiple graded stakes win a badge of silver, sire of two Kentucky Derby candidates, and his first crop stands for 7,500 live foal with breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdreestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I'm heading down the highway,
half a year's rental. This is the starting the second hour now, and of Horse Tales.
And I'll catch my breath a little bit. Got Matt Howard with me for a few minutes here. Matt manages Gentry Farms, which is right over here on Johnston Road, just adjoins the training center here. And they raise both thoroughbreds and quarter horses. And I don't know how your thoroughbreds are doing, but your quarter horses have been doing real good, Matt.
Our quarter horses have been doing great. One in particular, Fredaville, that Matt Fraser trains for us, just went down. She's down in Oklahoma at Remington and just won a 350 Grade 3 stakes race. Yeah. And we're prepping her for, she's got, the trials are in 3 weeks for the Muriel Distaff. Mm-hmm. And if she plays and gets in that, then the Distaff is 2 weeks later. And if she wins that, then she goes into the champion Distaff out in California.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, so that was at Remington.
Yep, Remington Park.
What was the pot?
That one was $35,000.
That's nice.
That's a nice pot. I talked to you before the race. And she wasn't picked to win, but you told me she was going to.
Yeah. The one that no one thought she was going to win was the prep to it because it was 300 yards. And you know, and Matt Fraser and I talked, we just wanted to get her under that track under her feet, let her know what it was. And she won that one. Then when she went to the 350 Distaff, which is one of her distances, she set a track record at Hialeah at 350. So we knew she could do it, and we knew she could win it. No one in Oklahoma thought she could win it. And only one of the bookmakers said she would even hit the board. The other three said she wouldn't even come close, and she won by half a length. So mm-hmm. That was nice.
Yeah, well, they had, as you said, she's one that kicks in at 300, right?
Yep.
And the horse was getting to her at 300, and they thought that they were going to beat her.
Yeah, and then she put it into drive and went on.
Yeah.
So
half a length's a big margin. Then
in quarter horse, it's a very big margin.
Yeah.
So
now she's won stakes before.
This year, we brought her from California. She was with another trainer, and I wanted to talk to owners into let me try something different with her. And I sent her to Matt Fraser, and he has now won. That was her third stakes, and this year that she's won. Mm-hmm. She won two at Hialeah, and then she also came in second after an 8-day layoff and a stakes race down there as well. So, yeah.
Is AD a long layoff for one of these?
No.
No?
Most people, you know, we try to go 15 days if you're doing it, because that's what trials do. Because in quarter horse world, any of these big races, they actually have trials first. They have from 8 to 15 heats, and then they take the top 10, and then it's 2 weeks before the race.
So top 10 winners.
The top times. Times.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, now wait a minute. So one of them said runs the fastest time and he wins by a nose. Do they take the second horse or just the winner?
Just the out of the 15 heats,
yeah,
the 10 fastest times. You could have five fastest times out of one heat.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So
I'm glad I don't have to clock those suckers.
Yeah.
I tell you that.
So, and it plays our advantage sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. Just like this Muriel Distaff that we have to run the trials in 2 weeks from today. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, there's only 14 horses in it. So they're going to run two heats of seven. And take the top 10.
Okay.
As in the thoroughbred world, they say, oh, we're just going to take the top 10 money earners, which I would rather see do, because 3 weeks ago down at one of the tracks in Texas, they had 12 horses trying to qualify for a race, so they had to run two heats of six, but the day of the race, two horses scratched. And those horses still had to run the race.
Oh.
Even though all 10 of them were in, but they still had to run for the betting public.
Yeah. Now, The gentries that you work for, they're from
Lubbock, Texas.
Lubbock, Texas. And, mm-hmm. of course, they've probably been in the quarter horse business before the thoroughbred business.
They were in the quarter horse business way before thoroughbreds. They got into the thoroughbreds probably 10 years ago, 15 years ago. One of the first purchases they bought was actually Princess Rooney.
You all took care of her until she died. Over it hadn't been too long since you had to finally had to put her down.
I had to make the decision. I'll say it was the toughest decision I ever made, because having to put her down, that was 2.5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
She's buried at the horse park now. So, yeah. But we have two of her daughters as broodmares, and Rooney's Princess and Rose Tiara. And Rooney's Princess, her 3-year-old that we have with Mike Stidham, runs his first race today at Oak Lawn.
At Oak Lawn Park. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I bet on him?
You can bet on him. He's favored, though. He's favored.
I can bet on him, but can I win?
I would say that what I know of the horse, I bet on him, and I think I could win.
Yeah,
6 furlongs and with no problem.
Yeah. Oh, wow, so. That's good. Now, you've got both kind of mares over there, thoroughbred mares on your farm and quarter horse mares. And I know what you do when you're breeding thoroughbred mares, but it's a little bit different with quarter horses, isn't it?
Yes, it's a lot different. There's three different ways we actually can do it. We can do a live cover, and we've bred some of our quarter horses to thoroughbreds, and it has paid off for us.
Live covers?
Live covers.
Okay.
One that really paid off was, she's a 4-year-old now, but it was by Cuvée. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she ran as a 2-year-old, ran with the boys in the Loss Out 2 Million, which is one of the biggest races in the quarter horse world, came in third, was the only filly in that race. She has made $400,000 to date for the farm. So, yeah.
She's still in training?
She's still in training out in California with our California quarter horse trainer. And then, but then the other two ways, they're both artificial insemination. But we can do it on shipped semen, which is from a stallion down in Texas or Oklahoma, New Mexico, wherever they ship us the semen, and our vet artificially inseminates it.
Okay.
But then we also use frozen semen.
All right.
You know, a lot of people in the quarter horse will collect their stallions and freeze it in case the stallion does die, which happened with this one stallion. And we've got, and luckily I can store it at Rood and Riddle. They have a facility to store it for us. And then they, same way, but with frozen semen, you have to wait until you have to catch them right after they ovulate.
Okay.
So vet checks them every 2 hours, and I got one I'm actually waiting to breed today on frozen semen.
And checking every 2 hours.
Every 2 hours.
Where is the mare at home?
Sitting on the farm.
How do you keep a vet there checking right every 2 hours?
He comes by every 2 hours. So if anyone wants to pay that vet bill, come on by.
Well, don't look at me. Well, that gets real complicated.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Wow.
Every 2 hours for how long?
Until she ovulates.
And then he can go home?
Then we breed her and he goes home. And I go home and I go to bed.
Okay.
And we bred at midnight and we bred at 1 in the morning. So we just got to keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I could put up with that or not. How many thoroughbred mares and how many?
We've got 8 thoroughbred mares and 10 quarter horse mares now.
Okay.
This year, we're only foaling out 12 foals this year. I've got 6 on the ground now. But next year I will be following out 20, because in the quarter horse world we can do embryo transfers into recipient mares. That means they take the embryo.
Who does that for you?
Rood and Riddle does it for me.
Is that right?
At what age?
How old are they when they transplant the embryo?
7 days. They're in full for 7 days. You breed them, and then 7 days later, you do an embryo transfer.
Oh, what? Well,
anyway, you flush them out.
Yeah.
You flush them out, and you hope you get an embryo. If you see an embryo underneath the microscope, then they stick it in a recipient, and then you wait 7 days and hope it caught.
Oh, man.
Good, good. You had a mare. You did that just the other day, didn't you?
We actually did it with Fredaville, our racehorse.
Oh,
it's
did
running.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were out here actually, we AI'd her here, and then I brought the mare over to Rude and Riddle. We flushed her, and she went back into training.
Holy cow. Who's the unlucky foster mom?
Rude and Riddle has a recipient herd.
Oh, do they really?
And my wife actually is one that takes care of it over there, her and Dr. Brady Camp.
Crystal.
No, Crystal.
So they go every day and check all the mares to see how their cycle's going, and they have to match them up with whoever. Someone's going to call them and say, hey, I'm going to breed my mare. And then they have to get a couple mares matched up with whoever they're going to do a embryo flush. So then they flush, and then they have two mares to choose from and go from there.
And then you just take the mare home, and when after 21 days, you take her back.
You're right.
I'll be darned.
That's a whole lot more complicated than it is with thoroughbreds, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll tell you. That's amazing. I didn't know they did that over there. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I know they're out of
colostrum, so I'm supposed to make that announcement.
Oh, okay.
So I just did.
Yeah, Rude and Riddle, Haggard's, everyone's out of colostrum.
Yeah.
And Matt's won two stakes down there during the month of March at Remington.
Correct.
Fredaville and
his big horse, Skyline Lover.
Skyline
Lover runs another stakes race tomorrow.
Wow.
Okay.
So.
Oh, that, and if he wins, that'd be eight straight
stakes wins.
Matt does awful good with his quarter horse.
He really does. Yes.
You can open that, by the way.
We just
shut that because the tractor was going by. Okay.
And Matt's not shabby with thoroughbreds as well. He's pretty good with thoroughbreds. That's why I've officially, and I've known you for two and a half years.
Seems longer.
And I have officially thrown my name in the hat of the game. I actually own part of a racehorse now.
Uh-oh.
And it's a thoroughbred, and Matt trains it for us, and he's doing great. So far, it hadn't run yet, but I like what he does. That's why I told my partners, I said, I'd get in on it if I get to pick the trainer. And they said, okay.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Why didn't you get in the quarter horse business?
Oh, I probably still will.
They can't stuttering over there.
I know. Okay, is this one that you are in on, it's a homebred?
No.
No.
No. It's one of my partners was a homebred on his farm.
Oh, okay.
Quarter horses, the ones, I'm too picky on quarter horses, and I can't afford to buy the ones I want. I got into the thoroughbred first, and then I told my wife. And she said, this one's got to win before I can get into it again.
Yeah. <Uh-oh>. So, sounds like grounds for divorce to me.
I know.
Yeah.
We're with you, Crystal.
No, she saw the horse. She loves the horse. She hopes it wins because she knows I'll get rid of it if it doesn't win for me.
There you are.
All right. Well, Matt, thank you.
No problem. I got to go to Rude and Riddle and pick up a horse now. So.
All righty. We appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Well, last Saturday at Turfway, the Grade 3 Bourbonnet Oaks was won by Summer Soiree, a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by Warfront. And in the very next race, the $100,000 Rushaway Stakes was won by Swift Warrior, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by First Samurai. Summer Soiree, bred by Burton and Brett Jones, won the Bourbonnet by nearly 11 lengths. And, of course, she's considered a serious threat for the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks. She's one of 6 stakes winners from the first crop by Warfront, a list that includes the leading Kentucky Derby candidates, The Factor and Sold At. Now, Swift Warrior, bred by Paget Bloodstock, Neartic Bloodstock, and Carhue Investments, is the 3rd stakes winner from the first crop by First Samurai. 2 others have placed in stakes, and that's 5 stakes horses, including a graded stakes winner from 19 first crop winners. Now, Warfront is the nation's leading second crop sire. He's a graded stakes winner. He's by Danzig. First Samurai is a multiple grade 1 stakes winner. He is by Giant's Causeway. And both stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are 2 names to remember in the horse business. The Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years.
Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners both here and abroad first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Yeah, I want to thank Indian Creek for sending hay over to old friends. That's a very nice thing to do, Shaq, and it's appreciated. Well, March 26th at Santa Anita, the grade $300,000 Tokyo City Cup Stakes was won by Worth Repeating, son of Giants Causeway, bred by Mr. B. Wayne Hughes, who owns Spendthrift Farm. Now, Worth Repeating is the 99th stakes winner, sired by Giants Causeway. He sired an average of 14 stakes winners per crop. That's remarkable. Now, listed among his 99 stakes winners are 17 Grade 1 stakes winners, including Giant Oak, winner this year of the Grade 1 Don Handicap at Gulfstream. Giants Causeway is also the sire of a leading Kentucky Derby candidate in Santiva, winner last fall of the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill. He likes Churchill Downs. And this year's Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes at the Fairgrounds. The Giants Causeway stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, home also of Fusi Ichi Pegasus, Grand Slam, Taylor the Cat, Thunder Gulch, all sires of Grade 1 stakes winners this year, and of the nation's leading sire for the past 2 years. Leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore. Arthur, thanks for that. That's Arthur Hancock.
Arthur comes in every Saturday, sets up a band right over here in the corner, and just plays his little heart out for us. I think it's so sweet. What a nice guy.
Yeah.
Can I finish my announcements? Or
go ahead.
Okay, this is finishing the first announcements, and then I'll finish up with them, maybe.
Well, go ahead and do what you have to do. We've got 45 minutes.
Okay, Kentucky Equine Humane Center All Breed Charity Horse Show, Sunday, May 8th, day after Derby, Bally High Show Stable in Versailles. KYEHC.org for a show bill. This is Joyce Brinsfield's place. You go down the Bluegrass Parkway at Versailles. Go where it starts. Go down, get off the first exit. That's 33, and turn left. And go down to the fork in the road and turn left. And she's a great girl. I really like her. She had a lot of fun, too. Dixie Anna's having Throwback Mondays, the Dixie Anna Trials. They're going to have 16 two-year-olds work every Monday, 10 o'clock, April 1st through June the 30th. They're all for sale. What, you started to say something about that?
Well, they used to do Dixie Anna back in the 1930s. And
about to lap yourself.
Anyway, they used to have trials out there. Well, that was back when Clyde Van Dusen was training for him. And he used to do that. Now, this is what my father told me.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All I know about that training track is to get to it, you have to go under it. There's a tunnel down there, and you were the make-out king down under that tunnel,
That tunnel came in awful handy.
Yeah.
When I was a young man. I forgot why I was there now, but.
Anyway, Dixie Anna's out on the Russell K. Road, so if you're interested, you can call Terry Arnold at 983-6562 or Dermot Fagan. 983-5681.
What time of the day are they having?
Every Monday at 10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock.
At the training track.
Okay.
Dixie Anna. Okay. Masterson Equestrian Trust, which is an organization to help take care of the only place that you can ride cross country. It's open to the public, and Lexington is so absolutely lucky to have this. They're having a Hunter Jumper show. Saturday is the Hunter show. Sunday, the 16th. That's Saturday the 16th. Sunday the 17th. That's 2 weeks from now. The Jumper show is on Sunday, and they're going to have cross-country schooling on Sunday. That's a good one because it's early in the year, and you can get out and see how you do. Let's see. TOBA, Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders, is having a new owner seminar May 5th at the Derby Museum in Louisville. Of course, that's Derby, right before Derby. And they are having a pedigree and confirmation clinic here. That's next October. But they're having a breeding clinic May 27, 28, 29. If you're interested in any of this or do you know anybody who would like to attend, it's toba.org. And, of course, Central Kentucky Riding for Hope is looking for horses. And Betsy, daughter Betsy, who had a brain injury, is going to start at Central Kentucky Riding for Hope Tuesday.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, 9:30. Okay. See how that goes since she got the injury on a horse. You know, I put her on another one. That may be it.
She told me I'm never going to ride another horse as long as I live. Now you got her.
Now she's. We're going to see. It's hippo
therapy. She used to have an old Palomino pony that she rode, and I says, now, I asked her, now, Betsy, what if old Luke was still alive? And she looked at me and says, well, I'd ride him.
Exactly. But anyway, we'll see. It's hippo therapy, they call it. It's riding therapy because it work on the trunk of, you know, your body. And I told her it was hippo therapy, and she said, hippo? I said, yeah, we're going to the zoo. We ride a hippo. She said, you're kidding. April Fool. Anyway, they're looking for horses, big, smallish. If they get enough big ones, they'll work with veterans who do. That's great. Yeah, I think so, too. Okay, as I said, Masterson's the only place you can go drive up with all those jumps and stuff and go school, ride for fun, trail ride, whatever you want. Now, the horse park is closed except for 5 days a year. You can school cross country out there where the big guys go. I'm telling you, it's funny. I've been to these. You ride up to one of those duck jumps or something out in the middle of the water, and your head doesn't even come up to the stupid jumps. You know, we ride around and look at them. I mean, any idea that I'm...
You mean you didn't go over one?
Not even close. Ride around going, oh, my God, look at that. That's what that's all about. But they have small jumps, too, and they got plenty of water you can go through. But the first one is Sunday, May 15th. That's, you know what? When's the Derby?
7th.
7 and 14 is Preakness.
No, Preakness is 2 weeks later.
Oh, that's right. This is a week.
Yeah,
this is between...
Preakness would be the 21st.
Okay, good. Because the day after the Preakness is the High Hope Steeplechase. So this cross-country schooling days, May 15th, is between the Derby and Preakness. Anyway, it costs you $35. And a one-day trailer pass is $20. Or if you're going to go all 5 days, you can get one for $75. Show on-site registration only. It's a lot of fun. Everybody's out there. There's two sessions, noon to four. No, Saturday and Sunday sessions are 8 to noon and noon to four. So that's a good time. Oh, Sean Dameron's back. That's an announcement for all his creditors or whatever. Anyway,
bill collectors.
Yeah. He's back in the Bluegrass. He's got a shop in Versailles, 190 North Main Street. When you go to Versailles, you go in there and you either turn right or left or you're going to run into that. Well, the courthouse is there and a church. Anyway, turn right. He's up between the Presbyterian Church and another church. It's not but a half a block up after you turn right. It says Dameron Tech or Dameron Cams on the windows. You can find it. Dameron Cams, as he is going around to businesses and farms and putting up video cameras, then they set it up to where you can see it at home on a computer, anywhere on a computer, or if you have a smartphone, you can see what's on the camera at anytime you want. A lot of people are doing it in foaling barns, and a lot of people are doing it in training barns to make sure they walk that horse for an hour while you were gone. Anyway, it's Dameron Tech and DameronCams.com, and his number is 230-6449. Let me see. Oh, I talked, listen, American Saddlebred Museum has got a year-long exhibit. Remember about saddlebreds in movies? I saw a movie the other day that was at least 100 years old. Myrna Loy, Jeanette McDonald, Maurice Chevalier, when he looked like he was about 14. All this, it was wonderful. Great music. It's called Love Me Tonight. That's it. Ancient music, but here's the thing. It was supposed to be set in France, and they got one saddlebred after another just prancing through that movie. It was great. So, in National Velvet, my friend Flicka and Fury were all saddlebreds. They're so smart. They do that easily. Anyway, that's at the horse park. Let's see, my friend Peggy Manus, 8469-343, manusphotography.com. Her studio is in Midway, and she does a great job. She's doing a lot of really nice dog portraits, very clever things where the dog looks in the window, and, I mean, through a mirror, just really, really good. You need to give her a call and get your portrait done of your dog or cat or horse or whatever you want. I guess that's it for me.
All righty. I'm going to get Steve Moody on here in just a second.
Good.
First Defense is one of 10 grade 1 stakes winners by Unbridled Song, a son of noted sire, sire's Unbridled. First Defense's dam is Honest Lady, winner of the grade 1 Santa Monica Handicap and of three other graded stakes, second in the grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint, and also in the grade 1 Metropolitan. Earned over, well, right at $900,000. Now, Honest Lady is by the great sire of sires and Triple Crown winner Seattle Slough, and she's a half-sister to the Belmont Stakes winner and grade 1 sire, Empire Maker. He's by Unbridled. And to grade 1 stakes winner and sire of sires, sire of grade 1 stakes winner is Chester House. Now, First Defense, his second dam is grade 1 stakes winner and broodmare of the year, Troussard, dam of five graded stakes winners, four of them grade 1 stakes winners. First Defense has a great grade 1 pedigree, a great sire pedigree. First foals are yearlings, stands at Judmont Farm for 7,500 live foal. Also at Judmont is the proven sire of grade 1 stakes winners, a Mizzen Mass, a son of the leading sire, Cozine, and he stands for 12,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Want to say a little something about my good buddy Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. Got a great website. It's good fun to go on there and browse, isn't it, Jackie?
Yeah, it is. What you wish you could have. I mean, he's got some of the most gorgeous listings ever. They're beautiful. Stuff's for sale now that doesn't come along all that long while interest rates are
and
low.
He's been moving it.
Yes, he has.
Yes, he's doing.
He sold quite a few.
He does very well. Well, a lot of people around here know Tom, especially people in the horse business know Tom. And Lisa. And Lisa, because she's your buddy, because she fox hunts. Well, does Tom fox hunt now, too?
He's been a couple of times. I haven't been in forever. I don't feel like I can even claim it anymore.
Well, okay. Well, you used to go.
Yep.
Well, anyway. Well, Tom, it's got a website. It's BiedermanBrokerage.com, BiedermanBrokerage.com. Go and browse on it. Got some great people working for him, like Reggie Bushell and Mike Lear and Mike Morrison, Ryan Teeter, Brad Noel, Broussard Huntley, and Joel Brown. And once again, he's a horseman, and he knows if you're looking for a horse farm, he knows where they all are. He knows what they all are.
Every sinkhole, they say.
Yeah, right. You know, he knows where every sinkhole is in central Kentucky.
Yeah, he did the auctioneering at the Hunt Ball, too.
Yeah.
Did a great job.
And he just did it at that Farm Implement thing out there, too. Yeah. Well, Tom's a great guy. You know, somebody that he'd be glad to help you, and somebody you can trust. It's Tom Biederman, BiedermanBrokerage.com. Let me give you his phone number. It's 277-2030.
Sally Vans, whether it's across the county or across the country, when you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, last Saturday at the fairgrounds, the Grade 2 New Orleans Handicap was won by Mission Impassable, bred by Summer Wind Farm, owned by Twin Creek Farm. B. Wayne Hughes, owner of Spendthrift Farms, the breeder of Worth Repeating, winner of the Grade 3 Tokyo City Cup Stakes at Santa Anita. And Bird and C. Jones, breeder with his son, Brett, of Summer Soiree, winner by nearly a dozen lengths of the Grade 3 Bourbonette Oaks at Turfway, is also the breeder of Church Camp, a winner of the Santa Lucia Stakes at Santa Anita that same day. He also bred the Horse of the Year in Canada for last year, so that's very good, very. Spendthrift Farm and the Jones families and Summer Wind Farm, Jones family's Airdrie stud, are among their valued customers at Macaulay Brothers, and they would want to wish them continued success. Now, Macaulay Brothers has been producing the world's finest feeds and supplements for the horse for more than six decades, and the success of their customers is a testimonial to the quality of their products. To join the winning team, just call Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Hey, well, we're running the Fairway Fun Stakes down at Turfway today. I'm trying to think who that darn filly was by. Do you remember who she was by? I've got Steve Moody with me now, who is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by Briss. Do you remember who that filly's by, or are you striking out like I am?
I'd have to cheat and look it up, Bursell.
Okay. Bill Floyd bred her. I do remember that. I do a lot of cheating like that, too. I look them up, too. Anyway, I remember Bill Floyd bred her. I think she was by a horse that stood over at Spencer's farm. But I can't remember the horse's name. I don't think he sired much else, but I may be mistaken. I think they're playing some kind of a basketball game tonight, too, aren't they, Steve?
They are indeed.
You're right.
They are indeed.
You know, I picked Connecticut to win them all, win it all, and I hope to gosh I'm wrong. But who knows?
There's about 3.5 million people in the Commonwealth would be right there with you.
Fairway Phantom, is that who he's bad? Oh, anyway, I'm just thinking, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm kind of looking forward to it, but I'm real nervous about it. Well, give me the winner of the Fairway Fun today.
Well, we got a kind of a compact field, Ursel. This wraps up the Turfway's meet, the final stake of the meet. Of course, Sunday's the last day, and next Saturday, I guess, we'll have be the Ashland Stakes at Keeneland. But we've got a field of seven going in the Fairway Fun. The two horses that look like on paper, the ones to beat would be La Grande Bayadora, who was second last time out, and Spring Party, who just beat her right on the wire. Those two, though, are kind of really off the pace type of horses. They really do their best running coming from out of it. La Grande Bayadora, more so than Spring Party, she likes to come from well back. When she won two starts back, she came from nearly last, and then she came from pretty far back last time. Looked like a winner about the 16th pole, but couldn't quite get up, got beat ahead. Ursel, the race to me kind of sets up for a horse that can get to the front in here. I don't see a lot of pace in the race, and I think the horse that gets to the front has a good chance to stay there. And that, to me, that kind of looks like the six horse, Miss Lou Ann. She didn't beat what you would, a real outstanding bunch last time, but, she did win her race, very, very easily. And she's stepping up to try, Stakes Company today. And she looks like she's found the perfect spot. She's got a fairly short field and, no one else to really run with her early, and I think she could be very tough on the lead here with that much early pressure. They're going to have to come get her in the last part of it, and if she shakes loose early, I think she might just take them all the way. So I'm going to give her the nod in here in the fairway fun. La Grande by Adora, who Bill, she'll be charging at the end like she always does. That last loss was the first time she had lost at Turfway, so she'll be trying to make amends for that one. And then Spring Party also figures to be coming from off the pace. But I'm going to go with the speed in here and hoping she can kind of steal it on the front end. We'll go 6-4-2 in the fairway fun to wrap up Turfway.
All right, Steve, we do appreciate that. And I can stay up tonight and watch this thing. I'll probably have to take a nap ahead of time before I stay up that late. I don't know if they go to the finals, what I'm going to do Monday. You know what time they're going to play there on the Monday?
Well, normally it's you know, it's like 9:15 is the start time, 9:15, 9:20 is what it's been the last whole bunch of years.
I have to get up and clock the next day.
So I mean, tonight's not a whole lot difference. Only about a half hour difference tonight.
Yeah, but I don't clock on Sundays.
Oh, I see.
So I get to sleep in on Sundays. But
there you go.
But I, you know, the next day after the finals, I guess they're going to have to play without me.
Oh,
I get out here.
That's going to happen.
Well, it will happen. Jackie just says, "Oh, fooey, that's not going to happen."
Not if the Cats win.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I value my sleep. Anyway, I get up here and all goggle-eyed or something on Tuesday and blow all these works. Not that I don't screw them up anyway, but there you go. All right, Steve. Hopefully next week we'll be talking about the NCAA winners. New banner to hang up. Well, they're going to hang one up anyway, Final Four, won't they?
Well, they've kind of, for a while there, they were just hanging up title banners, and then they were hanging up runner-up and title. So I guess as long as they win tonight, they'll hang one up there, I guess. But
I thought we had a Final Four banner up there too.
Well, they used to, they did for a while, and then they took them down, and then they put them back. So you know, I don't know what the current state of affairs is down there. Whether they're hanging the one up from like from 1984, if they've got a banner down there for that one, or not sure. I mean, it was there for a while, and then, like I said, they took them down just to hang the winner and runner-up banners, and so.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they'll be hanging the title banner. That's the one that's the one everybody wants to see. No question.
Yeah, I'd like to show everybody up and says that that's been saying that Calipari can't win with one and dones, but. I think it's the senior guys that have made this team. I mean, the two juniors and the senior that put it together.
Yeah, I mean, they've just got the perfect blend of youth and experience and
And talent.
And they're just really they really gelled here in the last 6 weeks. And like I said, hopefully we can go two more games.
When Liggins hit that that three-pointer in the last minute against North Carolina. Then I knew we had it won. It got to that though.
Oh yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking until that one went in.
Yeah,
but,
and he got it from a pass from Miller too. So two upperclassmen there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Steve. We'll talk to you next week, my friend, and many thanks.
All right, Urkel.
It's been Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and you can buy that wherever you find a daily racing form. Well, Jazzle was a fast closing second in the Grade 1 Wood Memorial. He was a closing fourth in the Kentucky Derby. Then he won the Grade 1 Classic Belmont Stakes at the direct expense of Bluegrass Cat. He also won as a two-year-old, breaking his maiden in New York, and he earned nearly $900,000. He's a classic winner with a classic pedigree. Dzil is by the top sire seeking goal out of Broodmare of the Year Better Than Honor by leading sire of sire's deputy minister. Better Than Honor won the Grade II Demoiselle and placed in two filly classics, the Mother Goose and the Acorn, both Grade I. She produced two classic winners, Dzil and Rags to Riches, plus Grade II stakes winner Casino Drive. He won the Peter Pan. And Man of Iron, who won, was a champion three-year-old colt in Ireland, and he won the Breeders' Cup Marathon. Jazzle's second dam is Blushed with Pride. She won the Kentucky Oaks, produced graded stakes winners in the USA, France, and Great Britain. And his third dam is the Great Foundation Mare, Best in Show, yet another Brood Mare of the Year. A top 10 freshman sale sire in 2010, Jazzle stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to say something about my good friend Jim Fitzgerald and a Knott Griffin farm. He owns Knott Griffin and Harper's Island, two farms down our directions, and one in Bourbon County, which is just over the Bourbon County line on Route 27. You know, he's a top horseman. He learned under the best. He was, went to the Irish National Stud, graduated from there, and that was when, Dr. Michael Osborne was in charge of running the Irish National Stud. Then he went to Spendthrift and John Williams, and John Williams, of course, one of the great horsemen in Kentucky, still is. And he managed Lee Eaton Farm. And now Lee, bless his rest his soul, was
picky.
Very, very demanding and very picky, but boy, he was a good horseman. And I tell you what, he was one of the best. Good friend of mine, incidentally. And if you learn from Michael Osborne and John Williams and Lee Eaton, you learn from the best, I tell you that. And Knott Griffin, of course, is right, his home place is right on 460, just about a mile off the Paris Bypass. Can't miss it. And he's got great boarding facilities there. He can do your sales prep, public and private sales transactions, you know, rehab, whatever. It's a quality farm with quality help. And he can just give you some sound, common sense advice if you're in the horse business. So get in touch with Jim Fitzgerald. Here's his website. It's knockgriffinfarm.com, KNOCKGRIFFIN. And his number is 987-8032. Now, Windstar Farm is my next one. And we're going to talk about a nice young horse they got over there named Homie Back. Of course, you know Giants Causeway. Sired his 99th stakes winner last Saturday out at Santa Anita. And one of the 99 is Hold Me Back. He's a multiple graded stakes winner. He won over $872,000. Now, Hold Me Back standing his first season stud this year for $6,000. Payable when the foal stands up and nurses. But listen to this. In order to ensure a great start at stud, the folks at Windstar are offering breeders a proposition that should make you sit up and take notice. Send your mare to Hold Me Back. Pay the fee when the foal stands and nurses, and you will receive a free lifetime breeding right. And what makes this especially appealing is that Hold Me Back has all the prerequisites for sire success. He was precocious. Won his first two starts as a two-year-old. They were at Keeneland and Arlington Park. He won the Grade II Lane's End Stakes and ran second in the Grade I Trappers and the Grade I Bluegrass Stakes at three. Met and defeated the likes of Quality Road and Warrior's Reward. Came back at four to win the Grade III Dominion Day Stakes up at Woodbine. His sire is ranked number one on the sire list for the past 2 years. His dam is by the top sire in Bridal Song, out of a champion from a family loaded with black type. Good-looking horse. Your inspection is encouraged. And he stands at a farm noted for developing successful sires. Inquiries to Robert Hammond at Windstar Farm, and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right here.
All right, I got a few minutes. What do you want, honey?
I got a message from Sean Dameron, and you know how techie I am. I'm not sure I got it all. But anyway, he said something to the effect that he welcomes feedback from people that have cameras on farms. I don't know if I got that right or not. Don't text me. I can't do it. It's too hard. Text Ressie. He can do it.
people that have ones that he has installed already?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know anyway. It's Dameron. Give him a call up and find out what he wants. 230-6449. Somebody call him for me quick.
Give him that number again.
230-6449.
Yeah. Ask him if he's going to church lately. He's got one on each side of him.
Either way, you stagger.
Yeah, anyway, you stagger out of there. Bottle of something in your hand, go right next door.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. All right.
Stay on your feet or you're baptized.
I've been trying to talk about this horse for I don't know how long now. Get around to it. I don't have a whole lot of time, do I?
No.
Misty Flight. This, of course, he was a two-year-old in 1957. He was by Prince Quillot, a gray flight by Mahmood, bred by the Wheatley Stables. That was Mrs. H.C. Phipps. Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons trained him. And he was still a maiden way up in July. Probably the best among the late developing two-year-olds that year. Ended up getting 122 pounds on the experimental. That was the fifth highway. He was foaled down at Claiborne Farm, and he was the fifth foal out of the good stakes winner and great producer, Gray Flight. She produced 9 stakes winners. Everything she had hit the ground running. You know, that's... I don't know of any other mares that have produced 9 stakes winners. Maybe La Troyne if I looked her up, but Gray Flight, God, that's fantastic. And she was a good race mare herself. He was her third stakes winner. Being preceded by Full Flight, she was by Embryorix, and Misty Morn, who'd been the champion 3-0 filly in 1954, went on to be champion handicap mare. And Misty Morn, incidentally, produced 5 stakes winners, 2 champions in Successor and Bold Lad. Misty Flight broke his maiden at Belmont Park on July the 29th. That's a little bit later than January, and in July 29th. Didn't run again until the Cowden Stakes up in September, third week in September, and he finished 4th to Jules Reward by Jet Jewel. Now Jules Reward topped the experimental. Nadir was 2nd, ranked 2nd. He was by Naz Rula. And Jester ran 3rd, and Jester was the first stakes winner from the first crop. Well, actually, the first winner from the first crop by Tom Fool. Got beat 2 lengths by those. But he made up 5 lengths in the last 1/8 of a mile, so he was closing. Came back and won an allowance race under Bill Shoemaker, coming from behind again, going 6 furlongs and 109-4. In the Futurity, he ran a closing 2nd to Jester. Just got beat a length. Jester, as I said, was by Tom Fool. Went to stud. Jester won a Futurity that year, and he went to stud down at Mr. E.K. Thomas's farm down in Bourbon County. Did very well at stud, and then they moved him over to Dispensary Farm. Mr. Combs took him over there, and I think he stood about 2 seasons there and just gave it up. Just didn't want to cover. Lost all interest. And that was kind of typical, you know. Tom Fool was a little backward in his breeding habits also. But in fact, I don't think Tom Fool sired but like 9 foals in his first crop.
Really?
Yeah, but he went on and, of course, became a great, great sire. Let's see. Where am I after that? In the Cowden Stakes, that was ran 4th. I told you that, didn't he? Then he won allowance race under Shoemaker 9-4. Told you that. In Futurity, he was 2nd to Jester. He got beat a length. And his next race was in the Champagne Stakes, going a mile, and he ran 2nd again. Got beat a neck by Jules Reward, who went on the top experimental. As I said, he got bothered in the race by Alhambra. Alhambra raced for Mr. Fred Hooper. He was by Olympia, very fast horse. Then he ran 5th in his next start. It was the Garden State Stakes, which Nadir won. Came from out it and got beat 4 lengths. And the condition for the rims in the Jamaica gave Misty Flight 3 pounds because he had yet to win a stakes race. And with R. Carroll up, actually he went in 2 pounds overweight because R. Carroll couldn't make the weight. He went with 113, should have been in with 111. And he defeated Whitley, and I can't remember who Whitley was by. Drawing a blank. Got beat a neck anyway.
Is this one of those things you're going to wake me up in the middle of the night and say, Whitley was by somebody?
No, it's probably when I'm driving halfway home, it'll pop in my head. Yeah. I just can't remember.
If you think of it in the middle of the night, it's not real important to me.
I'm on with. All right, dear. Well, anyway, where the hell was I?
Whitley.
Okay, beat Whitley by a neck. They duel from the half-mile pole home. In his final race of the year, it was his worst race. He finished out of the money in the Pimlico Futurity in the mud, and Jules Reward won that. Went to stud. Aside 19 stakes wins. Incidentally, next year won the Sheepshead Bay Handicap and he ran third in the Withers. Then he went to stud. I guess the best things he sired were North Flight and Night Invader and Sparkling Johnny, Frampton Fair, Hasty Flyer. He was, however, the broodmare sire of Minstrella, who was a champion two-year-old filly of her year in Great Britain. So that's the story. I finally got Misty Flight out of the way. Now I've got Edune to do, who is the champion two-year-old filly. I'm not going to do that now, though. So don't blanch over there. Okay. Let me take care of this one right here. Well, Lion of David is a grade one stakes winner from the female family of Mr. Prospector, and that should be enough to get your attention. Won a grade one Arkansas Derby at the direct expense of Kentucky Derby winner Super Saver, grade one stakes winner Dublin, grade one stakes winner Noble's Promise, and other good colts, and he won by leading all the way. The Arkansas Derby was his third straight win. He had posted a pair of one-mile wins on the grass out in California, wired the field in both of those, and he's a grade one stakes winner with the versatility to compete on dirt and grass. Now, Lion of David is one of some 20 stakes winners from the first three cups by the multiple grade one stakes winning millionaire, Lionheart. And this is the great Stormcat sire line, of course. His dam, a daughter of the leading sire, Capote, descends from the family which has given us Mr. Prospector and literally dozens of major stakes winners. Lion of David, standing his first season stud at Spencer Farm. Now, there's some very attractive breeding incentives available. Find out about them. Get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey, the resident Irishman, Sean Feld or Ned Toffey. Number over there is 294-0030. Or you can get that number off their website, spendthriftfarm.com.
Me? Oh, okay. Last night, the Sovereign Awards, that's the Canadian Eclipse Awards, they announced the winners last night, and the Canadian Horse of the Year was Biofuel. Four-year-old filly by Storm and Fever, bred and owned by Burton C. Jones, and if I'm not mistaken, she was two-year-old of the year when she was two-year-old. There you are. That's when you get to be two-year-old of the year when you're two.
No other year.
Horse Park today is going on, the Bluegrass Classic Arabian Show. Tomorrow is the Bluegrass Half Marathon for human runners, and they're having a Horseman Association Instructor Certification Clinic next week, and then next weekend is Spring Bay Horse Trials. Kentucky Humane Center Horse of the Week is JoJo, and I don't care what Matt Howard says. Something that's 15 months old, and it's April, is a yearling. This is a standard bred bay. They're all bay, mostly.
Don't they have a universal foaling date also?
I thought so,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But he said...
Yeah, they do.
He said sometimes they're on the mare till they're past a year. Well, I don't care what it is. She weaned a yearling.
He won't be a yearling. It won't be a two-year-old next year.
Right. Oh, anyway. Let's see what else I can do in a big hurry. Farm manager's next meeting is Tuesday, April 12th at the Red Mile. Guest speakers, Tom Amos and Rick Violette. Sean Clancy, moderator. Reservations should be made 5 o'clock, April 8th. Go to ktfmc.org. Dinner starts at 6:45. Chris McCarron was up here and said that the Today Show came and recorded a bunch of stuff, and the Racing Academy is going to be on the Today Show May the 4th. Pretty sure he said that's a Wednesday. I'm pretty positive. Wednesday before the Derby. Isn't that exciting? Let's see what else I've got. I'm turning the pages. Most of the stuff I've said 100 times. Kentucky Equine Humane Center All Breed Charity Horse Show Sunday, May 8th at Valley High Show Stable for sales. If you want a show bill, KYEHC.org. That's Joyce Princefield's place. Dixie Anna's having 16 two-year-olds work every Monday at 10 o'clock, April 1st through June the 30th. They're for sale. So if you want to talk to somebody, call Terry Arnold or Dermot Fagan, 983-5681. Masterson Equestrian Show, April 16th and 17th. It's Hunters on the 16th. That's a Saturday. Sunday is a jumper show and cross-country schooling. Toba's having a new owner seminar May 5th at the Kentucky Derby Museum. Cross-country schooling days at the horse park. Oh, I got 4 minutes. I talk slower.
Well, coming up on three.
Okay. Cross-country schooling days for this year. Sunday, May 15th at the Horse Park, costs $35 plus a trailer pass. Trailer pass, if you're going once, is $20. You can get a seasonal one for $75. I got to tell you the cutest thing. I was looking out the window here. We're at the Thoroughbred Training Center, and we're on the in the clocker stand, which is a little room, boxed in with a porch, up from about, what are we, about 15 feet high up off the parking lot. Cutest little girl was down there.
Whose little girl was that?
I don't know.
Little red-haired girl.
Honest to goodness, reminded me of myself. She was about 7 or 8. She hit every mud hole here, playing in the mud.
There's a big puddle out there.
She was up to her
ankles
at one point, and she walked back, and she hit every mud hole. Obviously, her parents are still doing up, and she's ready to go home.
Yeah.
But she was so cute. Oh, I want to tell you, too, this show is live streamed, WLXG.com, every Saturday, so all those people in China can get up in the middle of the night and listen, because they're on the other side of the earth, right? Isn't that about right?
Or you get on the website.
You can get on the website,
or on your smartphone or whatever.
You can listen to this on your smartphone or on your web page.
Well, that's not live, is it?
Yes. Yes.
You mean
what's as live as this gets? I mean, you know, there are limits. Some folks, you
what know. Do I know about that?
But anyway, this is high tech stuff.
Okay.
I can't even get a text message on my cell phone, and we're live around the world on computers and smartphones. And
Lord, that'll have to start World War III.
I know. But anyway, thanks to all you Chinese people for staying up and putting up with us. It's been,
let me thank you. Okay, you got something
else? Okay, we will be putting, Sean Dameron's going to put this show up on UrsoEllis.com, too.
All right. Well, since I talked to you last week, we've had 12 winners saddled by trainers from out of here. Brian Michael, Bobby Sturgeon, Oscar Modica, Tommy Skinner, Matt Frazier saddled that quarter horse that won the Grade 3 Deckett Stakes down at Remington. Tommy Bergen saddled winners back-to-back at Turfway, Mountaineer the other night. Troy Rankin. And we had 4 winners last night. Marco Castaneda and his wife Bonnie rode that one down at Mountaineer. And Jimmy Cargan had one at Mountaineer. And 2 at Turfway, Steve Casey. And I think Steve is 8-for-16 down there now. And Bobby Sturgeon again last night. So we're doing very well. I want to thank
Eight for 16. He'll have to try harder.
I want to thank Mary Jane down at the studio and Ressie here for getting
thank
us through
Ress.
This, and we'll talk to you next week.